Morning we'll be looking at a couple of verses in Proverbs chapter 23. We continue to go through the book of Proverbs. You might call this text from Proverbs 23 verses 4 and 5 it's a brief text about misguided priorities. Let's read about it together. Please stand. Hear the word of God. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist or stop. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. The Word of God. May it penetrate deep into our lives. Please be seated. I remember years back watching a hidden camera television show. And they were always doing something funny. Also very telling about human behavior. And this incident, they were taking a $20 bill, placing it in a parking lot, or somewhere similar, and then they would drive a car, stop it, right on top of the 20, the tire with the 20 underneath, with part of the 20 sticking out, so you could clearly see it was a $20 bill. And then to watch human behavior as they consider opportunity to have money, see what they do. Well, a lot of people wanted that $20. Some would try lifting the car. Others would, they'd be pushing it, you know. Some would be rocking it back and forth. Some of that got on the bumper and they were trying to get this thing away. Really, not too successful. Most people at least would try to yank it loose, but it wasn't going anywhere when you have a ton of something sitting on top. Finally, one woman got very creative. She was frustrated and looked like she was walking away, but what she had really done was walk away to get in her car. She gets in her car and swings around and begins to get line her car up with this other parked car, just carefully lining it up, stops about maybe 20 feet behind it, and then slowly accelerates to about a 5-mile-an-hour roll, and boom! Tries to jar the 20 loose. And apparently was rather successful. I don't know how much it cost to repair her car, or the other one, but she got the 20. You know, as people, it's interesting how we do certain things to gain more money. Sometimes they're quite bizarre, and we'll ask ourselves, why am I doing this? How have I gotten into this situation? Sometimes where we're even tempted to compromise our own value system and what we say we believe because we want just to be a little bit richer. The NIV translates this first part of the verse, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Let me ask you this morning, have you been putting all of your time and energy into getting ahead in this world while neglecting your your spirituality, neglecting your spiritual values. It may be time for us to take a hard look at our priorities and to think about what is really important and ask ourselves, am I really pursuing the things of God, or am I just trying to get more wealthy? I'm not here to put down upward mobility. I'm not here to put down having a job that pays well or investing your money to grow money. All that is good. But what is driving your life? What is driving the decisions that you make? Your motivation, your heart, as we heard in last week's sermon, as we're honest with ourselves, why am I doing this? And how does that relate to my relationship with God? Would this be something God would have me be doing? So we look at this text. Why is putting money ahead of God a bad idea? Why is wearing yourself out to get a pile of money a bad idea? There are two reasons here mentioned in this particular text. The first has to do with discernment, or discretion, if you will. Putting money ahead of God shows a lack of discretion. You may be good at getting money, how to discern how to do that, but not very good at discerning what really matters. This text tells us, do not toil to acquire wealth. It's not saying don't get a job to get paid. It's saying don't have your heart set on being driven to get more money. Don't let that be your primary motivation. Be discerning enough to desist Nike's promo is just do it, right? Just do it. This text promo is just stop it. Am I being driven? Primarily, if it creates more money. Without considering, perhaps, other issues that are involved. That may prove that this is not good judgment here, because a lot of things are getting sacrificed and trampled on in the process. Now, here are some things we need to stop. Stop your car as it approaches a red light. Stop going to the beach without sunscreen. Stop a leaky roof or rain from coming into your basement. I don't know how you did the other day, but I was watching my basement. Stop to look both ways, adults and children, before you cross the street. And there's one more thing that God wants us to add to the stop list. Stop trying to get a mountain of money. I know what you're thinking. I already know what you're thinking. Stop wanting to get a mountain of money. You're thinking, I don't want a mountain of money. Just give me a few molehills. Right? That's what you're thinking. That's what you're thinking. We all want a few molehills, don't we? Because it gives us opportunity. That money puts us into an area of choices. But Jesus says we can't have a heart for God and a heart for money at the same time. Not even a molehill. You can't do it. We think we can. I know I think I can at times. Sometimes I don't want to think why I'm trying to get some money, because God might have another opinion. So, no, this is the money you don't need right now. You need to be like spending time with your grandchildren. You need to be spending time with your wife. You need to be doing something good. It's just not about generating more finances. Jesus says in Matthew 6:24, if we try to love God and love money, we will either hate one and love the other, or we'll be devoted to one and despise the other. That's the way it is. There's a war going on for your heart. Do you understand that? There's a battle for your heart. And money is talked about a whole lot in the Bible, and a big reason we're told not to acquire it is because it represents so much more. It opens up a whole world of possibilities. Basically, it represents the world and what you can do. You can go to the beach. You can go on entertainment. You can buy big screen TVs. You can buy new cars. You can throw parties. You can get a whole lot of people, attract all sorts of company with money. It just opens a tremendous amount of opportunity for us, doesn't it? And that's not a good thing to have opportunity. That's when you're really wealthy, worldly speaking. But, you see, the money and our heart's attitude towards us can tell us what we really love. And Jesus says, you can't have an affection toward money and an affection toward God. You have to choose which is going to be more of a priority in your life. And if you think they can be on the same level, you don't quite understand yet. You don't understand. You, at some level, are still trying to acquire wealth and think you're smarter than God. I'm certainly guilty of that at times. Here's the kind of attitude we need, the kind of heart that Solomon had. You recall that Solomon was told he could ask for anything he wanted, right? He was going to be taken over the kingship. What did he ask for? More money, right? No. In 2 Chronicles 1:7, ask what I shall give you. In the night, God appeared to Solomon and said, ask what I shall give you. Solomon said, give me now wisdom and knowledge. He wanted to do a good job at being the king. So guess what God said? He responded. He says, wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. And by the way, I will also give you riches and possessions. That's pretty cool, isn't it? God will throw in the wealth as he sees fit. If we have our priorities, he's not going to shortchange you, trust me. It's a very similar dynamic when we get to Jesus speaking about in Matthew 6 when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, right? Don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink and wear. He says, look at the hillside over there. He says, look at that hillside over there. Isn't that clothed beautifully? And he talks about the beautiful flowers. He says, that's a far better garment than Solomon was wearing. And the birds, hey, you know, how do those things get fed? You know, I feed the birds. And aren't you more important than a hillside or a bird? So why are we seeking money? Seek the kingdom to be a better person, to be the new person that you are declared to be in Christ, to be your best self, to do your best at your job, to contribute however you can, to learn as much as you can, but don't be driven by money. The money will come. If you get excellent something, I guarantee money's going to come with it, one way or another. And if not, God will give you something in kind. Maybe he won't give you the money, but maybe he'll give you a free car or something. I don't know what those things are being. You see, the point is that we're to be seeking to maintain a heart for God and about his business and not about getting more wealthy. Although there were plenty of people that were wealthy, Abraham, Job, Jehoshaphat, Joseph of Arimathea, and so on and so forth. Being wealthy is not a mistake. It's seeking to be wealthy. That's a mistake. Secondly, the second thing we're told here is why it's a problem to seek to get the power of money, is to be driven by it. It doesn't have to do with discernment. That's the one problem, lack of discernment. The other has to do with dependability. Money, you cannot count on it. You can't count on it. That's actually the one reason mentioned here in the sixth verse, isn't it? Or the fifth verse. What does he say? When your eyes light on it, let me read the whole thing. Don't toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, the wealth, it's gone. Suddenly it sprouts wings and flying like an eagle toward heaven. Some of you in this very room probably can tell you, or at least your moms or your grandmoms, they can tell you how the money just flew away. A lifetime of savings just flew away. The economy can do that, you know. The people can pull their money out of the stock market out of fear and have a run on the banks, and it could be gone tomorrow. Don't think you can't. Because there are people related to you who lost it all. And it wasn't that long ago. A lot of people were jumping out of buildings because they had been living their whole life to get a pile of money so they could have it a little easier later on in their latter days. And then now they didn't know what to do. Too old to work, perhaps, or maybe getting older and saw no future, and they might as well just jump out of buildings. Bad thinking, but on both causes. There are certain things you can't count on. Let me tell you a few of them. The weather. Nice out there, isn't it? The weather. I mean, you can't always count on the weatherman to get it right. A 2-year-old using the potty. Hitting the lottery. Trying to go the rest of this year without getting sick. You don't have that. You only have to get 2 more months. But don't count on it. You may be laid off work. Could be worse. Money comes and goes. It's like sand and water. It can slip right through your fingers. You don't know how it can slip through your hands. The truth is, sooner or later, as it comes and goes here, but sooner or later, it's all gone. It's all going to be gone from you. As the text says, it will take wings and it will fly out into the blue yonder, just like an eagle, flying away with your money. Luke 12:15 and following, Jesus gives us much to think about when he talks about the wealthy farmer. Jesus said, "Take care, be on your guard against covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." He told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be happy.'" But God said, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You get it? This is a call for us to be rich toward God, living toward Him and His principles, not being driven by money, but by love for God, who will gladly give you money as you need it, especially if you're good and you're reliable and you're trustworthy. I guarantee you the promotions and all that other stuff will come if you're in the career track. Of course, some of you are not working for money anyway. You're just counting on your spouse or something to give you, which is a good thing because you're both working in different ways. There's a bumper sticker that still gives us much to think about. You know what it says, right? The one who dies with the most toys wins. No doubt you won't be taking any money when you appear before God at the end. No doubt your money cannot make you right with God. And no doubt money certainly cannot pay for the sins you've committed, nor mine. Your money won't be paying for your forgiveness. But there is one who can. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we find our healing. Isaiah goes on in the next chapter or so. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Buy wine and milk without money, without cost." And so I leave you with this verse in Hebrews 3:5. Fellow Christians, keep your life free from the love of money. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money. We said that money is going to go away. The verse goes on to say, "But be content with what you have, for he said, but I will never leave you nor forsake you." Dear Lord Jesus, we bow before you. We thank you for this simple text that tells us not to live to acquire wealth, but to love the one who gives us our wealth. To keep our love for you a priority. For we know that our possessions come and go, and one day they will all be left behind. But you tell us you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we certainly know that through the scars in Christ's hands and his commitment to us and his empty tomb where he's even now at the right hand preparing a place for us, watching over us, interceding for us in all of our needs in this broken world. Oh Lord Jesus, use this message to make us a deeper lover of you, and to have less love for the things of this world, except in the way that they bless the people around us in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.